And we are live for another great special edition. Every edition is special, but a great edition of Sports Club. In fact, we've got some killer guests. We're going to get to those just here shortly. We're going to talk everything under the sun. Le'Veon Bell still in the news. We're going to talk. There's a rumor about Carmelo Anthony to the Hawks. Julio update, but as I said, we've got a very special guest. So without further ado, I want to bring him on right now. He is from Georgia State Sports. He's Mike Holmes. How you doing, Mike?
I'm good, bud. How are you?
I am doing fantastic.
Appreciate you having me on.
It's always good to have you on. I haven't got a chance to catch up with you lately, so this was a good opportunity.
No, it was perfect. You know, and obviously right now we're in the middle of summer and getting excited about a football season that's now right around the corner, but basketball and everybody else will be here before you know it as well.
That is true. And before we get into that, you're finishing up Sunbelt Media Day, right?
Well, so I just got back from New Orleans for a Sunbelt ESPN Summit. A lot of our fans may know or may not know. That we're going to be kind of launching a whole new Sunbelt network, starting with football this fall. And so I was down in New Orleans with one of our directors and producers for the last couple of days with all the other schools in the league as we kind of go over how that's all going to play out. So we're really excited about that. It's going to allow us to kind of control some of the content and do a lot more. And then we'll have Sunbelt Football Media Day right back down in New Orleans down on Sunday, and then Media Day is on Monday. So, I mean, that really means football season truly is right around the corner.
I know how much it pains you to have to go to New Orleans so many times in the year. For people who haven't been to New Orleans, myself included, kind of walk us through not just the beauty of the city, but overall what the experience is going to be at one of these media days.
No, it's a great town. One of the things, and I say this not only about New Orleans, but when we go on the road, I love to I'm the food guy. Who loves to check out the local places. Obviously, New Orleans has a ton of those, especially when it comes to the seafood and stuff. But when it comes to Media Day on Monday, it truly is a full-day event. A lot similar, just on a slightly smaller scale of what fans may have just seen with SEC Football Media Day, Media Days, which was here, right here in Atlanta. We'll bring a couple of student-athletes down, Coach Elliott, and truly try to, spread the word as much as possible about Georgia State. Obviously, we're coming off a 7-5 season with a bowl win. And so I think, the growth of the amount of people that want to talk about Georgia State football throughout the Southeast and throughout the nation keeps growing. And so has Sunbelt Media Day. And they'll have a full day of ESPN programming, full day of interviews on YouTube Live. And obviously, we'll have some stuff behind the scenes as well to get our fans, excited about football season.
Yeah, because it is right around the corner. And once again, I'm still going to hold off the football a little bit because we're gonna kind of tease everybody here. You are also over not only the men's golf team but the men's basketball team. I want to start with golf. It seems like under the radar every year, this golf team just goes out and performs at a high level, does really well. There's a lot of the guys who end up in a lot of the pro tour events, especially down the road, but right out of the gate. So, who are kind of the people to look for on this golf team? And then how would you kind of sum up their season this year?
Yeah, we're really getting excited about their play, obviously, leading into this year. Take a quick step back. We lost two incredible seniors off this past year's team, Alex and Max Herman, who were great four-year players for us. The season didn't end necessarily the way we wanted it to. Alex Herman, unfortunately, who was really our number one guy for the last couple of years, suffered an injury early in the spring season and wasn't able to – really never played again kind of midway through the spring. And that really hurt us. I mean, when you lose your top player in any sport – to something like that when you're expected to play, and it hurt. And so we didn't really have it last year. Overall, if you look at the program over the last 20 years, it's a program that's won 8 conference championships. It's been in NCAA regional play 14 times. It's made 5 NCAA championships. So it's going into this year now. There's that same expectation of, all right, we're going to win a conference championship. We're going to go to regional play. We're hoping it's the NCAA. The guys who I think we'll focus on this year who are really going to be the keys to us having a successful season, our 3 seniors, Nick Budd, Nathan Williams, both of those guys are our four-year players. And then Severin Soler, who transferred in from Mississippi State before the start of last season, had a really impressive first season with us. I thought had a legitimate shot at newcomer of the year in the Sun Belt, just missed out. But I think those guys can be the kind of that core nucleus to get us going. We've got a couple international guys coming in as freshmen that I think have some talent. It's definitely a program that when people talk Georgia State golf or Georgia State in general over the last 20 years, it's arguably been our most successful program, just in terms of postseason and everything that goes along with it. So I'm happy to obviously work with that group. Golf is something that, as you know, is something I enjoy and try to get in as many rounds over the summer as I can and even try to get out and play with those guys during the year. I obviously don't have as much time with all the success of football and men's basketball, but it's fun to be able to get out on the course for an afternoon, hit a few balls, try to make like I feel like I could still play some Division I golf, and spend an afternoon with them, as well as just, honestly, to get to know them. And that's one of my biggest things, whether it's on the road with men's basketball or either of our golf teams, is to get to know our student athletes, so I can do a better job telling the stories, whether it's through our mediums or through members of the media.
Exactly, and that's one thing that when people ask me, when they know that I've covered Georgia State sports in general, they say, what makes Georgia State different from others? I can mainly speak from the little bit of other stuff I've done with other schools and programs, but what I like about Georgia State is that you and Allison George and all the other people that are over all these sports, you guys get to know these athletes. That's something that sometimes on a larger scale, I'm not going to call out schools by name because, I'm not going to put words in their mouth. Mm-hmm. But sometimes when they say, we have 10,000 sports-related students here, so there's no way for me to get to know them all. As many as you guys have, you guys almost know every one of them by name, or you know something about them, or if you pass them even going down the street, there's at least an acknowledgement that you know each other. And that personal touch, I think, is what helps the program be what it is.
I think it's huge, and part of that is, especially in the ever-changing media culture that we have, as well as the fact that we're in Atlanta. There is a lot to report on, whether it's professional, collegiate, or whatever. So we kind of have to tell the narrative. Well, if we don't get to know our student-athletes well enough to, understand more than just the, what their stroke average is or how many points they're scoring a game, we can't tell those stories. And the only way you're ever going to really be able to do a good job of telling those stories is if the student athlete is comfortable talking to you about things. That's why plenty of other SIDs, don't travel with their men's golf team. And I'm not saying I'm able to do every tournament by any stretch. But the couple times I do travel with them a year, I really get a chance to, know them whether it's walking on the course during practice round or sitting at dinner or sitting at breakfast. As well as, I think it allows them to open up to you because they still view you as an administrator, but almost more as a friend who is an administrator. And they feel like they can have normal conversations with you. I think that's been something that's been extremely important for me from the day I got started in the industry almost 20 years ago. And I think it'll be something that if I want to continue to be successful and for us to have a successful sports communications department is something that we'll need to continue on. Obviously I've got two smaller teams in the grand scheme of things with both golf teams and basketball. But as you alluded to, Allison tries to do the exact same thing with a 105 player football. And that's the key to, I think, why we've been able to be successful with what we do.
Because all these athletes, they know you guys, they know Ben Moore, who's a lot on the recruiting side and stuff like that. And after a while, they get to know some of us media people. You see us hanging around long enough. There's been a lot of times I'm walking through Atlanta, and one of these athletes just, they call you out from down the street and people around me are like, that guy or that girl. Yeah, that's the, she plays first base for the softball team that just won this big game, or they're on the soccer team, they're on the football team. It's really just a community thing. And to be in Atlanta, like you said, I think you guys really take advantage of being able to have that family aspect.
Yeah, and that's, I think, something, and honestly, I don't think it's something that starts with the sports communications office. I mean, I think it's something that is throughout our athletic department. It starts at the top with Charlie Cobb. He understands that, and that's something that, he has pressed or instilled upon everybody else. But I think it's obviously something that everybody enjoys doing, and it's a truly a genuine feel. And I have no doubt we will continue to try to, you know, try to go that approach for as long as possible, and, you know, use it to our advantage.
Exactly. And since you mentioned Charlie, I want to sit down and have a conversation with him soon, because I'm going to ask him mm-hmm. pretty much a lot of the stuff we're about to go over. But you look at what Georgia State's done and being able to build onto and to really turn the old Turner Field into Georgia State Stadium has it was a massive project. And of course, it's going to hit snags. Any project will. But from what it's turned out, even to this phase, even though there's more phases after this, I mean, mm-hmm. it hosts college football. It has had big concerts in it. I mean, the Foo Fighters played that place. Mm-hmm. And then now it's going to host the Atlanta team from the AAF, the Alliance of American mm-hmm. Football. I think it's just overall, just it's not even a pat on the back. It's almost trophy worthy what all you guys and especially Charlie has done to build that Turner Field area, because we all know, unfortunately, it wasn't the best area there was even towards the end of the Braves' tenure. But you guys have been able to kind of clean it up even more and to turn it into an even bigger place, and now it's a destination for other leagues, other concerts.
Mm-hmm. No, it goes back to the vision, you know, of Charlie, of President Becker, of everybody associated with the university and athletics, of what we could turn this into. And, you know, there was a lot of research and a lot of studying, and I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, haven't made some mistakes along the way, but we've tried to calculate what we can do to make Georgia State as successful as possible. And obviously it started with that stadium, and our fans saw a piece, you know, phase one of that last year. For anybody that hasn't been down in the stadium area right now, we've got a major construction project going on right across the street to build the new dorms that are going to be going in there, which I think are going to be a huge piece to this whole 70-acre property. At the corner of Capitol and Georgia Ave, there's already six or seven places that'll open up later this fall, from a bagel shop to a little, I don't want to say sports bar, but type of place, a barbecue restaurant. And it's slowly going to expand out, and you're going to see it continue to grow. And yeah, we would all love it to just, you know, instantly pop up and be done, you know, and have a new baseball stadium right there, and new convocation center, and all the Main Street USA feel, and the streetcar running down it. But it takes time. And so piece by piece, we know we're going to get this done. It's something that everybody that's sitting around knows, that whether you're in the athletic department or the university side, we can truly be a part of growing something and leave our footprint on something that hopefully 25, 30, 50 years from now, people look back and go, all right, yeah, this is when the turning point truly occurred. And something to be proud of, and hopefully, you know, we're sitting in a, you know, packed out stadiums, and you know, playing against, you know, and beating top competition, and I don't think there's anybody associated with our department that doesn't think that's a possibility down the line.
I definitely agree with that. We're talking with Mike Holmes from Georgia State Sports and Athletics. Yeah, we'll finish with football. Let's derail for a minute and go mm-hmm. to the basketball team. And I don't really want to use derail, because that makes it seem like the basketball team didn't do anything. and that is as far from the truth as possible. A lot of people say, you know, well, what have they done lately since, you know, they're like, oh, we remember a couple years ago when they made the tournament because that coach's kid made the shot. And I was like, mm-hmm. I really wish you'd phrase that a little better, because what RJ did at that point was it wasn't just a coach's kid hitting a shot. There was a turning point there. There was a it escalated things as far as the expectations. And as far as I'm concerned, this basketball team has just continued to get better and better. It's just so hard when you're not in the Power Five football in a couple of the other D1 sports. It's so hard when you're not a Power Five to make that argument so you can get into those tournaments and such like that. But overall, I think this basketball team has just, you know, leaps and bounds continues to make it bigger and bigger.
No, there's no doubt about it. And as you kind of mentioned, Unfortunately, at the level we're at, realistically, it comes down to one day in March or 3 days in March, however you want to word it. And so, you know, we've been on the good side of it. We've been on the bad side of it. If you look over the last 5 years, you know, twice, 2015, and then this past March, we were fortunate enough that we were on the good side of it. And it led us to the NCAA tournament and two appearances in 4 years is something that I think we're all pretty proud of. You know, we've been on the other side of it. We're a tough overtime game in 2014 that when we all thought we were, you know, we'd be in, kept us out. And then 2 years ago where we led Troy by 15 points in the second half of the semifinals, and I'll be perfectly honest. I sat there on press row and I already had visions of, you know, and still I guess it would have been 60 minutes to go of that we were going back to the tournament. And obviously, you know, things didn't play out that way. But I think Coach Hunter has established a new standard for this program. If you think about it, we've had 24 or more wins in three of the last 5 years. You know, we have a loaded group of players coming back, led by DeMarcus Simons, who obviously won the Sun Belt Player of the Year last year, was an AP All-American Honorable Mention player. You get Devin Mitchell, who hit 98 three-pointers last year, too shy of R.J. Hunter's school record. Jeff Thomas, Malik Ben-Levy. I mean, the list continues on and on and on. I have seen them be more hungry this summer than they were last summer. And it's a senior class that anything shy of the NCAA tournament in their minds will be a disappointment. And obviously, you know, even as we said, it could come down to one day in March. They want to try to put themselves in the best situation. So if it's possible that it doesn't play out that way, you know, they're a hungry group. And so it's fun to be around. We've been able to do some cool behind the scenes stuff this summer. We've got a trip coming up to Spain in about 2 weeks. We're going to do a lot of behind the scenes stuff while we're over there, because we'll actually get to play three games against Spanish teams. And at the end of the day, it's just a fun team to be around because the team chemistry is so good. And they've really, each one of those guys has each other's back. And so hopefully, you know, hopefully it can be a special season for us.
And since the text line is blowing up with Please Talk Football Now, we will officially go to Georgia State football at this point. Yeah, because it's this time of year when every team on any level gets in their mind, because it's true at this point. Nobody has any wins. Nobody has any losses. Everybody's 0-0. What happened last year really doesn't factor in so much. You know, everybody's hopes, including the fans, are high that we're going to win it all, or we're going to win this, or this is going to happen, this is going to happen. So without further ado, have you been able to check out any of the spring or summer football practices? I know they haven't had many yet.
A couple over for the spring, but obviously we're just kind of wrapping up basketball season and the tournament run, so I didn't get over there nearly as much as I would like to. I will say I know for a fact workouts have gone extremely well this summer, and we're now, I guess, about a week and a half from the players officially reporting back to get practices underway on August, I guess it's August 1. So, you know, I think what our fans are going to see as it all kind of starts to play out is, you know, this is, I guess, I would call this truly Coach Elliott's first true recruiting year. Obviously, he had a recruiting class last year, but by the time he got in and his coaching staff got in, it was a little later than most coaches would like. But I think that the depth and the ability for young guys to come in and challenge for starting spots is really going to be a huge dynamic that has the potential to play out over those 4 weeks of training camp leading up to that first game on August 30th.
And then, basically same thing, different year. You got Penny Hart is already on a lot of preseason. I mean, obviously he's probably the most recognizable as far as the face of this team currently, because we'll get into the elephant in the room here in a minute. But, you know, seems like he's healthy. Seems like a lot of these other guys, that's what you really hear. You hear these preseason, this guy's favored to do this, this guy's favored to do that. Totally lost my train of thought. But that's what I get for multitasking. I was looking ahead at something else I was going to say. But, the most important thing at this juncture, and I know Coach Elliott echoes this all the time, is getting people like Penny Hart healthy and on the field. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we did lose the Julian Lorenz, who did so much for this team. He's up in the CFL now. That was a huge thing for this program too. As mm-hmm. guys start to move on to the other levels, we're obviously going to see that a lot more in the next coming years. But what does that ultimately do for this program?
I think it's huge. I mean, at the end of the day, the fact that, you know, we've got about half a dozen guys with NFL ties now for a program that's only 8 years old. You've got a couple guys playing up in the CFL, including, you know, by the looks of it, I think I heard Nick Arbuckle is scheduled to start this week for his squad. I think their starting quarterback might have gotten dinged up or something last week. And having not been around the office this week, I kind of only caught bits and pieces of it, but obviously it'll be something I'd want to keep an eye on for this weekend. But what it does is it even more so legitimizes our program when we can show guys like what Albert Wilson is doing, what hopefully Robert Davis will be doing, obviously what Will Lutz is doing down in New Orleans, mm-hmm. even to the chagrin of some of our fans who are Atlanta Falcons fans, is truly remarkable for a program that is as young as ours. So, you know, as that list of guys keeps growing year after year after year, when our coaches are out on the road recruiting, they can point to, well, yeah, look at, you know, all right, fine, you want to be in the NFL? Look at what Albert Wilson has done, or look at what Robert's done. Look at what any of these guys have done. Even the guys who are just getting a chance. You know, we've got three guys who signed free agent contracts after the draft last year. And so the fact mm-hmm. that you're even getting a chance in camp, go prove yourself. Leave it all out on the line, and maybe something will come of it. You never know. There have been plenty of guys over the years that have had successful NFL careers who are undrafted free agents. And so it just, you know, as I said, it just continues to legitimize the program. I think it makes our guys work harder knowing that if they put the work in and do what our coaches tell them to do, they're going to get a shot if that's, you know, if that's truly what they want. And then, you know, at the end of the day, I think anybody that says they're going to play college football, college basketball, when they leave school, that's what they, you know, they want to have another shot to do what they're doing playing professionally.
Yeah, I definitely agree, and I was trying to see if I could find the news article about Nick. I had kind of heard something, so if so, congratulations to Nick, and I hope he makes the most of his opportunity. I mean, mm-hmm. that's what a backup quarterback's there to do, is to fill in when the starter's not there and, you know, potentially take his job. I mean, without getting too far ahead of it, Nick's every bit as talented as he wants to be, and I know mm-hmm. you guys wish him the best, and we wish him the best as well, because obviously he listens to this show. This is probably his favorite show, I would imagine.
Absolutely. I have no doubt about it.
So, Nick, you know, congratulations. We wish the best, and our studio man cave would love to have a helmet or even a signed picture. We'll just throw that out there.
I like it.
But, you know, speaking of quarterbacks for this program, obviously Connor Manning is no longer here, as the mm-hmm. NCAA has this rule where if you spend 4 active years on a team and or you graduate, you are no longer allowed to play. I guess we'll have to petition to see if we can change that down the road. But the biggest story every year about this team ever since Nick left is the quarterback. Mm-hmm. And we know that Coach Elliott is not going to tell us anything, which I would not expect him to. But, you know, how do you kind of see it shaking out? We don't really have to go through names or nothing, but, I mean, mm-hmm. when you have, they have 6 on the roster right now. I honestly think mm-hmm. it's down to 3 in particular, with Jacquez Parks, Jack Walker, or Aaron Winchester, I believe. But, I mean, any of these 6 could have it, but, I mean, how do you see this shaking out?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right in the fact that probably at this point, and this is probably more the fan side speaking than mm-hmm. than the sports information. I think, you know, you probably see it at about truly 3 guys once you get down, you know, as camp gets underway. The one I would probably say that I don't want to say, I won't say there's a favorite, but I would say Dan Ellington, who's a junior yeah. college guy, who's a junior college All-American, who's coming in. I think will be one of those guys. I think Aaron Winchester, who you obviously mentioned, has been somebody that's been around the program. He brings a different dynamic in the fact that he can really move with his feet and you know, kind of get around. We saw it a little bit last year. And then, you know, the other one that probably has the most attention, I guess, in the program would be Jack Walker. From the perspective of he was here last year, so he has a year under his belt, you know, in the program. Swift Lyles is one that's coming in from Mobile, who's one of the top mm-hmm. quarterbacks in Alabama. You know, as somebody who is just from a football fan perspective, I think it is a little harder for a true freshman quarterback to come in and be able to be your starter on day one, just because of the intricacies that go from playing high school football to playing college football. Not saying he can't do it. Honestly, really haven't gotten to see him throw the ball around a whole lot. Just off past experience, that's kind of a trend. You know, you see it sometimes, you know, at the absolute elite level. But I do think it'll be a good competition that'll hopefully lead to, you know, at the end of the day, we've got somebody who we can put on the field game one, who can lead this team right off the bat. And whoever that may be, I've had the fortune to meet and talk with most of them at this point. I think all of them are capable of being a good representation of what we want Georgia State football to be about.
Oh, exactly. And just so that someone's mom doesn't send me any hate tweets or anything like that, the sixth one that we have not named is Nick Iannone or Iannone?
Mm-hmm. I think it's Iannone. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's what I was thinking. That's what. But just to throw him out there from – he went to Benedictine High School in Savannah. Mm-hmm. Nick, just throwing your name out there, because at this point, as much as me or Mike know, any of the six of you could be the starting quarterback at this point. And that's kind of the thing where, you know, as a media representative, I want to know, and I want to know now. But as the mm-hmm. kind of conspiracy theorist, kind of the I like people that mess with people's heads, I honestly don't want to know until literally you look at the first play and you say, which quarterback just got the ball in his hand? And you're like, oh, works for me.
I think, and knowing the way football coaches work, there's probably a pretty good chance that'll be how it plays out. You know, and I've seen that across the board. The one thing I've always joked about in all the years I've been doing this, and this is whether it's football or basketball or golf or whatever the case is, you never have a coach after a signing day or after they sign a recruit go, man, we just signed a terrible player. You know, but at the end of the day, you know, you got 100, and I think we're at 129 Division I football programs this year. You're going to have somebody's class that was ranked number one and somebody's class who was ranked 129. Mm-hmm. I do think we had a very good signing class. Hope, you know, some of these guys are going to work out and end up being great four-year players for us. Some may never get the opportunity. Obviously, you know, as you mentioned, there's six quarterbacks on the roster right now. Well, it's one of the few positions on the field that you truly only need one of in terms of, you know, every play. It's always good to obviously have guys for backup for injuries and stuff, but, you know, you're going to start one quarterback. You may start a couple wide receivers and a couple corners, but that's that one spot that is definitely key. So it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. As I said, you know, we're now only about a week and a half away from them being able to start having practice with the coaches. And I'm sure before long, you know, it'll start to play out whether it's the way Coach Elliott plans on it or not, but it'll be interesting to see.
And I do finally have an update thanks to the Calgary Sun. I want to give, Daniel Austin from the Calgary Sun. I want to give full credit to him for that. He's got an article from a day ago that says starter Bo Levi, I believe is his name, Bo Levi Mitchell, was working out with teammates, but for the second day in a row, it was backup Nick Arbuckle and third stringer Larry Grimm who were splitting reps with the first team. So at least at this particular juncture, I know the Calgary Stampeders will play in about 2 days and 1 hour from now. They are at home against the Montreal Alouettes. So, I mean, honestly, if this by NFL standards, if by 2 days out, your starter's not practicing, there's a good chance Nick might get his first start.
Mm-hmm. No, and I think, and that's kind of where, you know, what I guess it sounded like in the office. And obviously, so that, you know, that's one of those things you go in and you get the opportunity, and, you know, he takes advantage of it, which I'm sure he will do his best to. You know, who knows how it plays out down the line. They may see something in that they hadn't seen before, and next thing you know, you're the starter.
I mean, he is a history major, so he may explain how Calgary become a city and just wow him.
That probably won't be one of the things they look at, but you never know.
No, I mean, you never know. I mean, he may know more about the history of either the CFL or the Calgary Stampeders and, you know, be impressed. I mean, we've all moved up in other jobs that way just by knowing something somebody else didn't.
That is very true and very fair. And honestly, he could probably teach me about some stuff about Canada.
Oh, I'm sure. Most of the conversations I ever had with Nick, even on a football field, somehow ended up in some historical thing we were debating. So that's obviously he knows a lot more than me because he majored in it. But Mike, it has been fantastic getting to have you on. Hopefully I didn't keep you away from too much. I know you're preparing.
Not at all.
Oh, okay. The Stampeders are trying to send me videos now. Thank you, but we're good.
You never know what's going to happen once you start looking at Calgary football.
I know. The Calgary Sun was trying to give us a better update. I'm not sure there. But like I said, Mike, it's been great having you on. Great getting to catch up. Hopefully we will get to catch up in person here pretty soon. And a lot of things are about to get going for Georgia State football-wise. So I know our paths will cross, and we'll have a lot more to talk about then as well.
Absolutely. Well, no, Jeremy, I appreciate it. And you know, as I told you, always glad to hop on with you and talk a little Georgia State sports and catch up our fans on kind of some of the behind-the-scenes stuff that's going on. And as you said, it's going to be here before you know it. We're pretty excited about it. And we're looking forward to it.
I just remembered the other thing I forgot. So last thing, I promise.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing as our baseball affiliations are on the same path, should the Mets blow this up or should they try to hang on and just see what we can do in the next couple of years?
I would absolutely hang on and keep it going. One of the things that to me as a Mets fan that obviously destroyed us last year was injuries. And obviously I know it's part of the game and stuff, but we definitely have seemed to be a little bitten more than others. And then the same thing really honestly happened this year with Noah Syndergaard, Yoenis Cespedes, who's supposed to, I think, be coming back tomorrow night for the Subway Series against the Yankees. So no time to blow it up just yet. There's a talented group of young guys that I think can get this thing righted. You know, I still contend, hey, there's still half the season left. There's a lot of baseball to play. I'm sure there's a lot of people that think I'm absolutely crazy. But, no, I am a play in it to win it. New York is not really a rebuild town. They don't really like that stuff up there. So I think with two young stud starters right off the top, keep it going. Let's see what we can do. And hopefully I'll get another trip to the World Series before too long.
Yeah, that would be nice. And yep. I was trying to pull up. I had the pitcher that's been doing so well for us this year.
Jacob DeGrom.
DeGrom, that's it. Crazy that he could actually potentially. I mean, he's going to have a handful more wins than he has now. But as good as he's pitching, it would be just almost insane if he won the Cy Young on this team.
What I will say is the precedent has been set. Of that it has happened before, and it wasn't too many years ago. I'm going to say about four or five with Felix Hernandez, that voters have really started to look less at the win total and more the body of work. I had a stat a couple weeks ago, or maybe a week ago, that DeGrom had 10 starts where he did not get a decision and had only given up 10 runs in those starts.
Wow.
I mean, so if you think about that, even if he goes, you know, gets 6 wins, 7 wins, I think we're a no-brainer, but the Mets offense just has massively struggled this year. Even just last week, he pitched 8 innings of shutout baseball. Didn't even factor into the decision. That shouldn't be possible.
Right.
But unfortunately, this year that has been the case.
I mean, I could go through a stat line, and it sounds like something Max Scherzer would do. It's unbelievable what he's actually doing. And I do agree. Mm-hmm. That's one of the goofiest things about baseball is that you can literally throw 9 innings of one hit baseball, but if that one hit caused a run, you lose. And it's just
exactly.
It's one of, it just it falls on the wrong person to me, but I guess as Mets fans, we are probably clinically insane if it hasn't been proven already. But
there's definitely some truth to that.
Yeah. We would have to be to follow this team. It's just it's one of those if you're just a glutton for pun, welcome to the New York Mets fandom.
But to go along with that, what I will say is the fact that, you know, the fans that truly stick with their team, and not even just the Mets, but that truly stick with their teams, whether they're winning or losing, when you do start to win, it makes it so much sweeter.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and for people who don't believe me, I say go back and watch the Subway Series Yankees-Mets from the World Series back in, what, 2000?
2000, yep.
Yep, just go back and watch that. And when you see the at-bat with Roger Clemens, Mike Piazza, and those sorts of things, that's what makes it work.
Exactly, and it sums it up. So it won't be too long before we're playing for a title again.
Yep, I definitely agree. And as much as I used to think we should blow it up, I definitely agree now that we got to hang on to what we have, because if we do blow it up, you know, the next DeGrom, the next Syndergaard, those kind of guys, we don't know if they're in the pipeline. So we need to hang on to what we have.
Exactly.
But, Mike, I will really let you go this time. I appreciate you hanging on with us for majority of the show here. And like I said, I know we will meet face-to-face here soon, and I look forward to it and also the start of the college football season.
Absolutely. We'll see you down at the Georgia State Stadium or down at the practice field before long.
Won't be too much longer. But have a great rest of your night, and we will see you later on down the road.
Appreciate it, Jeremy. Thank you.
And that was Mike Holmes from the Athletics and Sports Department at Georgia State. Always fantastic. So much good knowledge there, so many good insights. That's why I wanted to have him on. Just a great guy. Want to give a shout-out to Doug Bearhazard. At Barely Doug, spelled B-E-A-R-L-Y, Doug. He's another great guy. He is a fantastic media guy from all the Georgia State games. Just a fantastic guy. He hasn't heard it yet, but knowing that Mike was on the show with me, it was going to be great. Appreciate that, Doug, and look forward to seeing you soon as well. A couple little things we're going to get into. Not a whole lot going on. That's part of why I wanted to have Mike on, because we could talk so many great things, so many fantastic things. And like I said, just good to have him on. It's not too much longer before the game plan will be right back up, which is our college football show, where we'll talk Georgia State Panthers football, and we'll talk their athletics as well. We have people from all over the spectrum there, as well as we talk some college football overall in general stuff, some of the big things going on. But we'll let you guys know when that's supposed to come back in. That should be – so what are we looking at? Today's the 19th of July. Probably mid-August. Look at second or third week. It's being penciled in. There's some meetings going on right now. We're trying to coincide some things and all that. And it should be a lot of fun, though. And I think you guys will really like some of the things we're going to do game day-wise this year with the game plan, and I hope you guys enjoy those. But I told you guys we were going to talk about a few things, so I definitely want to do that. Not sure who is cooking here at the studio, but it is smelling amazing. Hopefully they are saving some for myself. I doubt it. Let's see. There it is. A good buddy and good friend of the show, Rob Halsey, posted something earlier. This is supposedly from Adrian Wojnarowski. This is his actual Twitter account, so I don't think it's been doctored. I guess we could look that up and let's see. I'm going to look it directly up because I believe you. Yeah, there it is. There's the ESPN article, actually. Yeah. This is All right, so here's basically what's going to happen. The Atlanta Hawks are going to send – nope, not that. Send Dennis Schroeder and They're basically, all right, the Oklahoma City Thunder are going to send Carmelo Anthony to the Atlanta Hawks, where he will be waived and become a free agent. Too bad. I think Carmelo would do well here. I don't have a problem with Carmelo. He could shoot all he wants on this team because we could use a few more shooters. He's probably going to sign with the Rockets. I don't care about that. Y'all consider the Heat. Don't care about that either. The Thunder will also send a 2022 projected first-round pick. God, that had to be so long from now. Anyway, to the Hawks for Dennis Schroeder and Mike Muscala. Thanks for your service there, Mike. Dear Dennis, you were out of town, so good riddance. Take your business with you. Apparently, the Thunder will then send Muscala to the 76ers for Timothy Luau Cabaret, according to league sources. Wow. But Schroeder, you know what? Enjoy being with Russell Westbrook. If he doesn't make you a better player, then it wasn't going to happen. But Woj, I guess I'm going to follow Woj now because he is putting in some work. But that looks like that's a done deal there. That's pretty much going to happen. Hawks fans, but yeah, Carmelo to the Hawks for Schroeder, basically, and Mike Muscala being a piece that they're moving to the 76ers. I mean, this new look Hawks, it's something we need to do. We can actually ease the expiring contract of Carmelo Anthony, which is why that's actually happening. But Hawks fans, it's what it is. This team is still slightly rebuilding, although I like us a lot better this year than last, and I liked us last year. I understood where things were, and I'm planning to make it out to a game. And we're going to line up some Hawks people coming up soon, including some people who cover the team, because I want to talk about some of the big stuff going on. There's some other trades that are potentially going on. Hawks fans, just stay tuned because it's going to get better. We just, you know, me and Mike just talked about being a Mets fan and hanging on during the tough times. Well, if you're a Hawks fan, this is the tough times. Hang on. I promise you when it comes out of this, it's going to be great. Let's go to, really the two biggest NFL things going on now. The Le'Veon Bell situation. Apparently, Le'Veon Bell is just going to sign his franchise tag and is probably not going to be a Steeler after this year. They're probably going to give him 300 touches or better and pretty much run him in the ground. He's going to be like 26, 27 going into next season. He probably will want a 5-year deal. I think he's going to probably get a 3-year deal. I wouldn't mind giving him a 3-year deal. I'd guarantee the whole thing. I don't know numbers-wise, but I would guarantee that for him if that's what he's looking for, and that's probably what he's looking for. Steelers fans, don't get mad. It's a business, and this is how it works. If you're the Steelers, this is the smartest thing. This is something Aaron Rodgers is going to be dealing with here in a minute. We talk about it all the time. Aaron Rodgers is going to say, hey, Matt Ryan's getting $30 million a year. I'm getting $22 million. To which the Packers are going to say, well, you got this year and next year left on your deal, where you're continuing to make 22, and then franchise tag, you're going to be 36, 37 years old. At that point, we don't care who you play for. Enjoy, what happens at that point. And there's nothing Aaron could do except for retire at that point to get out of that. And under that structure, he would average 25 a year for the next 4 years, which is still a bunch of money, but he's going to get swallowed up by all these other – I mean, depending on how it goes, Jameis Winston may be making more than he is at that point. Andy Dalton won't be. He might. But no, Le'Veon Bell staring at the same thing. They don't want to overpay for a running back, even as good as he is. So they're going to continue to franchise tag. Whatever his, I think it's the guaranteed money, honestly, is what I think the hang-up is. This is completely my opinion. I think he wants more of it guaranteed because he's like, yeah, I'm in a position where you never get paid for what you do. You either get paid for what you did or what they think you might do. You never get rewarded for what you're doing. At a running back, that's what happens. It's unfortunate. It's just that position in football that just sets you up for just not a good thing. It's too early. I'm not even going to get into the potential landing spots unless he is traded. And I don't think the Steelers are going to trade him. I still think, regardless of what some others think, I think that the Steelers are considered either number one or number two coming out of the AFC. Some people have the Patriots above them. Some people have the Jaguars above them. I think those are your three front runners anyway. So any way you want to slice or dice those, they're still a favorite coming out of the AFC. They can wreak as much havoc as anybody. They are a matchup nightmare for practically everybody in the NFC. Steelers-Eagles would be very entertaining for those of you who are throwing that out. Steelers-Falcons, Steelers-Seahawks, I don't know. These are all different teams. But Steelers-Rams, those we could see those. But Steelers would have to once again make it past the Patriots and or the Jaguars. So we'll see how that works. I mean, you know, Jaguars-Falcons sounds pretty good to me. Jaguars-Cowboys sounds even better. Be a little biased on that one. But as far as what's going on with Le'Veon Bell, Le'Veon, unfortunately, the best you can do right now is sign the franchise tag, play just balls out, just play as hard-nosed and as safely as you can this year, and then take your talent somewhere else. I think somebody said the 49ers, if he was available this year, the 49ers would have went after him. Given what they gave Jerick McKinnon, like $7 million for a perennial lifetime backup. And that's no knock on Jerick McKinnon. He got a chance to start a little bit in Minnesota, made the most of it. Now he's going to get a chance to do the same out there. He is really good. There's a chance he could be a perennial starter in this league. He's just been a backup for his entire career so far, given a couple games, which is fine. Unproven. Means he'll prove it. But like I said, so many places that could use Le'Veon Bell that I don't feel like going through the whole roster, and we're not going to at this juncture because he's a Steeler. He's not going to get traded, and my guess is he's going to hold out of almost every practice or related run through he can, and he'll show up sometime before week one. That's your prerogative. I used to defend the players all the time, and in this instance, I do think you're getting hosed a little bit, Le'Veon, but it is what it is. And from the Steelers' perspective, they always play hardball. They always do everybody this way. So you either take their deal, you try to negotiate a little bit if you can, but you either take the deal or you don't. In this case, I would advise you not sign it and move on. And then the last big thing, the big hot topic, including earlier today among some other coworkers of mine and some other friends of mine that I ran into, the Atlanta Falcons said that there are at least three players that they are looking at giving new money and new contracts to. But Julio Jones is not one of them. They said that he will not get an extension until after 2018. To be fair, I guess they could wait till January of 2019 and do so. But they basically said, you have 2 years left on your deal that you signed. I don't want to hear it. And I got it back to Falcons here. I have nothing against Julio Jones. On any given day, he is one of the top two or top three wide receivers in this league. Depending on the day, once again, you got to throw Julio Jones, Antonio Brown, Odell Beckham if he's healthy. I mean, those are three of the better ones. Those are three of the perennial everybody will fight for him in a fantasy draft. Overall, great guys. You know, I give it to him. Julio, between you and Antonio Bryant, it's one of you guys are the best. You are. Should you be paid more? Probably, given the scale of the market and stuff like that. The problem is you're in the Aaron Rodgers bracket. You're in the Le'Veon Bell bracket. Play out your contract. They could still franchise you as well. I don't think that's going to happen. You're probably going to be a Falcon for life. But from the team perspective, there's no reason why they should feel like they have to negotiate with you right now. So, kind of is what it is. I hate it for Julio. Julio's a great guy. We got the new talent coming in. Once he gets back in camp and gets going, they have probably the best 1-2-3 wide receiver combo there is. I'm not sure anybody else has one even close. They legitimately could have two ones and a one and a half. Those are the big issues going on. Falcons fans, just stay cool, stay chill. Try to stay as cool as you can. But, you know, we're just going to have to see how this plays out. If I was Matt Ryan, I would take Buck Blue's advice at this point. I would turn around and go, Julio, what is it? With all the new money I got, I'll cut you a check. Get in camp. But it is what it is. Falcons fans, there's tons to look forward to. People like Grady Jarrett are going to be getting new contracts soon and some other things like that. I think you guys are going to really enjoy that. But go do it for us this week. Shout out to Mike Holmes, who came on and just was solid platinum talking Georgia State sports and developments, and of course our lovable Mets. But I'm Jeremy the Impact York. Thanks for joining us on this week's edition of Sports Club. We will see you guys next week. The club is officially closed. Get home safely. Uber if you need to. We'll see you guys next week.
Was that not clear without the bam? Yeah, okay. Bam! What?